At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12-powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12-powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of the paranormal life of L. Sidney Fisher.
With Natalie Bradford, after she had crossed Devin Bradford's path at the same location where his wife had been murdered, they became intimately involved, ended up within a very short whirlwind of a romance, becoming engaged and getting married. She then marries him and moves into Lindenwood, his nice, beautiful, big home. And within 3 months, she's fighting for her own life and dealing with the most horrific hauntings that she's ever experienced. Natalie Houston was a non-believer. After this, moving to Lindenwood and her time with Devin Bradford, she got an introduction to the paranormal that she would never forget.
Do you think that it was Devin and dark things following him? Do you think it was his wife he murdered that was haunting her? Maybe a combination of both?
You will see that in the book. It was Liz Bradford that was haunting. She was haunting the house, the all of them. Devin Bradford stood on the staircase, and you'll see this scene in the story. He stood on the staircase and told Natalie Bradford that he stood on a mountain and the devil promised him something, money or, you know, a life full of riches or whatever, and he turn to the dark side. So it's a very intense scene. And believe it or not, that really happened.
Wow.
He came into the house carrying a gun. He was not supposed to be carrying a gun being
a
with his trial
suspect,
coming up.
Yeah.
Yes. He had a weapon in his hand and he stood there on the stairs and literally, he looked like a different person. He looked like the devil, you know, whether you believe in the devil or not. If you do, that's what he looked like. It had entered him. His eyes were, it looked different. And he had blue eyes. He had the bluest eyes. But he had dark eyes at that moment. And he looked at her and told her that he stood on a mountain and on one side was God and the other side was the devil. And he chose the devil.
Ooh.
That's what he told her. And she rushed past him and got out of the house. And it was always dark in there. It was always cold. Oh my gosh, just wait. Well, you'll read about Timothy sleeping in Caroline's room for 3 nights, terrorized. And Liz and her daughter Caroline that drowned were buried across the highway from the home. True story.
Oh.
You could stand on the second floor balcony on the landing when you go up the stairs, look across the highway, and you could see their headstones. And it was always misty. There were no lights anywhere. This was out in the country. It was some spooky stuff.
And you grew up with that story. Like, that was where you were from, right?
Yep. For three wow. months, I was there around at that area. Yeah.
Wow. I can't wait to read that. I can't wait.
When I was writing that book, I had a lot of crazy stuff happen.
And
I was going
to ask you about that, because with writing about the paranormal, even me just talking about the paranormal all day, but when you're involved in writing something, that's different. You have to immerse yourself 100%. It kind of consumes your life as you're writing, and you're always researching it and thinking about it. It just doesn't go away.
It doesn't. But after you have done this for so long, it's like the other day, the cat was over here beside the chair and the pantry door swung open. And that's happened to me 2 or 3 times here. And I got up and went over there and looked and that kind of thing. And I'm like, you know, whatever. Then I have thought I saw something moving across in the kitchen, like a shadow, full figured, full formed, white shadow. And I'm like, oh my God. So that was a little unnerving. And I was trying to go to sleep and I was looking out the door before I laid down and all that. And I'm like, I was like, nope, I'm not dealing with this tonight. You're going to have to, you know, I've gotten to where now, I mean, I've lived with this for so long. Now, I will tell you that this past weekend, when I was at this other location, they had a lot of activity, which sometimes, you know, when you're on a paranormal investigation, you're thinking, eh, this might be questionable. You know, you always want to debunk things, because it's healthy to be a skeptic. You know, you don't, everything is not a ghost. But this particular night, Saturday night, they had some really intense, their equipment. And I will tell you that my REM pod, it's called a REM pod, and it goes off based on movement and that kind of thing. It'll light up and makes sounds and all that. They used some other things that they had as well. But, oh my gosh, the stuff that was happening there for just a few minutes, I was like, oh my God. And I thought to myself, yeah, and I just sat there. And the one girl that was sitting beside me, she jumped or whatever, and they were all looking at me like, does this not bother you? I said, I'm so used to it.
Which is weird, because I'd be like, aren't you a little scared here?
I mean, now, this is what's funny about it, okay? So now I've gone from being jumpy to just being amazed by it. I'm mesmerized by it, fascinated. So that's how it affects me. Now, look, if the bed starts shaking or if furniture starts moving, that's a whole different issue. And you would
different.
See Sydney. Yeah, you would see Sydney getting the heck out of Dodge. But as long as it's just some things going off and they're wanting to chat a little bit and, you know, that kind of thing, I'm like, okay, because they're pretty, you know, they're pretty harmless. But I have been to a location that was absolutely 100%, I'm convinced that it was, they had demonic activity there. And I will tell you that I never want to go back to that place again. Not ever. So I feel sorry for the neighbors who even live near it.
Wow.
But it's a tragic story. It's called The Devil's Den. That's what I named it. You know, I gave each location like a name, depending on, you know, the story. But in the haunted series that I wrote about, it's basically most of it is Mississippi, places that I had visited. There may be a Tennessee or something in there, because I've been all over the place, but I kind of gauged that series for Mississippi haunted locations. And that's how that my paranormal investigative team came about, because I was really, I've been a researcher all my life, but I haven't really gotten into the investigations, because why would you, whenever everywhere you go, you attract mm-hmm. ghosts, mm-hmm. it seems. But I actually decided to recruit a team, and I recruited a team of paranormal investigators. The name of our group is PARA. It's Paranormal and Anomaly Research Alliance. And I did that because I was thinking, you know, I think I want to do some investigating and start maybe a new series, and I'll go to some locations. I might find something that a book is born from this. So that was intended to only run for a few months to a year, and it ended up going 4 years, and with a little television show, a local channel actually put it on. It was called The Paraphiles, and It was fun, but when you become a filmmaker and you are filming a television show and you have a season and you've got to have that, 10 investigations before September 1st, because that's when you drop your season, it can be exhausting. Of course, there was travel involved and that kind of thing, but we had a lot of fun with it and stuff, but there were some very scary places that we went. Definitely opened my eyes to the spiritual realm, as far as there's a whole lot more out there than just earthbound ghost, rather than Bob, who passed away because he got his foot stuck on the railroad tracks and it was an accident and he has unfinished business, that type of haunting, that type of ghost, to you've got a non-human entity that has possibly been summoned from people playing with Ouija boards and they don't have any idea what they are conjuring, or other types of things that they're doing, possibly that they're people conjuring spirits in certain locations, or it could be just be that the place is just a portal of some mm-hmm. sort. There may be portals there. So those are the ones that will literally drain you dry. You will feel like that you are, you'll feel like you have a little mild case of the flu. For about 3 or 4 days. And this last place that I went to, I do believe that there was, even though the people said there, no, we've never experienced anything, I've sensed that there was a little bit, some comings and goings at that location that may not be the best, have the best intentions. Those are the ones that will wipe you out. An earthbound spirit, most of the time, can be the boss and say, look, these are the rules. And most of the time, they just open the cabinets every now and then, or clink something just to get attention, jiggle the door handle, stuff like that. It's when you have some that are moving furniture and doing stuff like that. And I laugh, but I am being totally serious. It's those that that's no time to play.
Right.
That's no time to play. And those, when we've been to some locations, it's literally taken me a week to recover.
And with the haunted series, you went to a lot of different locations to write these stories. Not only do you go into the location, you have to research it, kind of see what you're dealing with. and then you go home and write a story, you're putting it in books. It's just like for someone like you who's so sensitive, that submersion into it, I think, could be really difficult.
It really just depends on the energy, what kind of energy that I'm dealing with. The devil's den, yes. Yes, that's because that's demonic energy. As far as these stories, this is a series of like ghost stories or it's a historic, a haunted history is what it is. So it's going to be different than my book, The Haunting of Natalie Bradford, that is a full story. It's a novel. It's going to read different.
Yes, yes.
The Devil's Board is the story of some kids that were playing with a Ouija board at a, you know, it's based on a true story. And then See No Evil. That's about Seymour Prater, the Mississippi mystic. That's a wonderful story. I spent about 8 months researching that. So the Haunted series is going to read differently. And it's going to depend on when I would go to certain locations. It really depends on the energy there. Now, what you were saying about, can you turn this stuff on and off? Sometimes I can just check out mentally and just don't want to be, just, I don't want to deal with ghosts. And sometimes I'll just kind of like not even try to tune in. Because that's kind of the best way I know to explain it is tuning in. When you tune in as a clairvoyant, you are tuning out any other clutter or anything else that could enter your mind. It's like meditation. You can't have random thoughts running through your mind of, gosh, I missed lunch. I'm hungry. You can't do that. You've got to be zeroed in right there. And it depends sometimes on how strong that energy is when you go into certain locations. It's really easy to, I mean, they greet you at the front door like this place that I was at this weekend. I didn't even have to try. But there have been places where they're just not, they're very, and it's really funny. Some ghosts are real shy. They don't want you to see them. And then there's some that, but they all have the same expression. It is so funny. When you make eye contact with these spirits, these ghosts, and I'm calling them ghosts, I mean an earthbound spirit, the soul of a once living person. That's what I'm referring to as a ghost. Sometimes they'll look at you just absolutely stunned. They're so surprised that you can see them. And it makes me chuckle, but I will say something. And then you can pick up sometimes on their thoughts or anything that they're wanting to say. It really depends on them and whether or not they want to talk.
Because you can have one foot there and a foot here, obviously. You have an ability that most of us don't have. When you encounter a ghost, what do you think the reason is for them not moving on? Do you think it, because you can't, if you have unfinished business here, I guess I get that, but you can't really finish it up because, you know, you need to be alive to finish up your business. Do you have any kind of indication, or is it kind of all different for each ghost that you encounter?
For each situation, it can be. Here's what's really sad. When they're confused or when they say that they need help, it's so sad. Mm-hmm. Because let's say that a lady passed away during childbirth. I'm just thinking of a place that we were at. She passed away in childbirth. I believe she bled to death. It was terrible. She was in horrible pain and that kind of thing. And she didn't get to love her baby. She didn't get to, you know, necessarily to see her baby. It was over. And so she's hanging on to that, and she's got a lot of unfinished business, as far as she is concerned. And some of them act like they don't even really know where they are. They're stuck in this dimension. They don't understand that they've passed away and that they can go on into the light. When the light opens up, that they can go toward the light and be done with this on the earth plane. In my opinion, hanging around here is the worst idea, but there's a lot of it. In my opinion, it's not surprising at all that those souls find themselves when it's immediate and they're checked out that they're still here and they're a little bit confused because, you know, they didn't pass away peacefully right. in their sleep. What if I had died in that car crash?
Right.
My brother, my mom, my dad, you know, I don't want to leave them. But I didn't make it to the top of the water. I might be one of those souls, could be, that for a while I was a little bit displaced. And I think that's a good way to sum it up sometimes with earthbound spirits, earthbound, meaning they're bound to the earth. I feel like sometimes that they're just misplaced or displaced because of something that happened to them. You have people that have been murdered that their souls are still haunting the house that they lived or whatever because they need closure. They need to tell their story. Maybe it was never solved. Maybe right. they were one of those people. Yeah. So there's a lot of that. And it's tragic. And sometimes you want to help them. But then, of course, there's always the imposters. And the imposters are what I call the negative spirits that take on the likeness of a child or your great-grandmother. And they do that with the purpose of confusing you. So they do not have good intentions. And you have to be careful. And I wouldn't tell people to go around conjuring spirits anyway.
I think that's good advice. Don't go conjuring.
Just because we're going to have a Ouija board party and let's conjure some spirits. I probably wouldn't do that if I were you.
Real quick, just because you mentioned Ouija boards, in the book that you wrote, The Devil's Board, that's based right. on a true story. And where did that happen?
Well, I changed the names and changed the location of the, you know, they're fictitious names. I did that on purpose because I wouldn't want the institution of higher learning to have any kind of negative thing from that. But yes, that really did happen. I know about that one firsthand too. I was there the night that the dorm caught on fire.
What?
So
they were messing around with the Ouija board. And
oh boy, were they ever.
They went in over their heads.
They did. I mean, I'm telling you. And here's what's crazy. That room, the dorm rooms where this was going on, after that book was published, a man contacted me. And he started asking me some questions, and he had gone to school he had like heard of this. He kept asking me some questions. I said, look, I'm not going to confirm or whatever, but if you guess it, and he says, well, I stayed in this room and I was very depressed and suicidal during my time there as a student. And he told me what room and building that he stayed in. That's the room where the Ouija board was being played probably 10 years before this kid ever went to school there.
Oh, wow.
I went back to that location, to that dorm, and went up there. It's just creepy. I wouldn't stay there. Hopefully, it's okay. They've renovated. They've done that. You know, sometimes just a good cleaning will sometimes rid a space of negativity. Clean up your space, and that does rid your home of negativity, negative energy. So hopefully the people that live there now don't have any. I haven't heard anything since then.
He just needed the confirmation.
Needed the confirmation, yep, from me, the author. He needed to know, and he kind of figured out, because he was from the area, and he kind of figured out.
And I think that confirmation would be good. Because then you would be like, I mean, it's creepy, yes, but it would also be like, I really wasn't going crazy. There's an explanation for why I was feeling the way I was feeling.
Right.
I think that could be helpful. Yep. Are you working on any new books?
I am. I'm working on a memoir, actually. You know, it takes you on the journey from the very beginning of when all of my paranormal stuff happen. It's called Followed Out of the Light. So I've been working on it a long time. When you listen, writing creative fiction, which of course is creative nonfiction, excuse me. That's mostly what I write. It is books that are based on true events, but they have all of the elements of a fictional story, mm-hmm. which makes it entertaining to you. But writing a memoir is exhausting because it requires you to open yourself up and you've got to tell it all. And so if you're going to be, you know, if you're truly going to do a memoir in that way. So it's taken me a long time to do it. And I'll tell you that I love writing creative nonfiction so much better. I do have that project that I'm working on. I'm hoping to have it finished by the end of December. The other project that I'm working on that I am so excited about, I've had this, been brainstorming it for a long time. I have a new series and a new character, and her name is Gabby Beckett. So Gabby Beckett is going to be, she's going to be recruited into a Black Ops program, or we should say one of those undercover secret departments in the CIA. But if you think in terms of the X-Files, it's a little different spin. It's going to be a different spin, but I'm working on that. She'll be the main person that's exploring some of these things that have happened in the past and what's going on.
That'll be interesting.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I've had to visit a lot of different places. You know, this UFO thing that's going on right now, it's an explosive topic. And I've been exploring that pretty heavily for the last couple of years. So we're going to see what happens to Gabby Beckett when she starts exploring places like Skinwalker Ranch, Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where Mothman happened. You know, it's just amazing. And I attended a UFO conference in April, and that was really interesting. I'm telling you, ghost is one thing, but aliens, that's...
I so agree with you.
Now, listen, I don't even know where to begin with that, because I can deal with a ghost, but an alien? Oh my gosh. I've written a lot. I have a blog called on Medium at medium.com. It's under L. Sidney Fisher. And then, of course, they can, listeners can find my books on Amazon, or they can go to lsidneyfisher.com. But I've written quite a few articles on this UFO stuff going on Medium.
That's like such a whole other topic too, because there's so much out there that's unknown, but there's also quite a bit of information out there that I think they've kind of kept under wraps for a long time.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I took a lot of your time tonight, and I just really appreciate it. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you. I enjoyed it too.
And that wraps up our conversation with L. Sidney Fisher. You can find all of her books on Amazon or other booksellers, and you can get more information on her website, lsidneyfisher.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.